Hey, good morning and happy New Year's Eve to all of you out there. This has always been one of my favorite holidays. You know, I like holidays. I'm a secular guy, but you know, holidays are a lot of fun. And this is probably the most secular of all the holidays, you know, except for all the other secular ones. This was one of only two holidays that President Thomas Jefferson observed. And this may sound like a bit of a non sequitur, perhaps it is, but I find it interesting. He observed New Year's Eve because he thought it was useful to pick some sort of time to demarcate one year from the next. You know, maybe that was an occasion to, you know, get a little festive, although in Jefferson's case, it wasn't all that festive. And he observed the 4th of July because he thought the date of our nation's founding was worthy of observation. But other than that, he didn't celebrate any holidays. He didn't keep Christmas. He wasn't a religious guy. And there were really all the other holidays he deemed to be frivolous. He didn't go for Arbor Day. He didn't go for Memorial Day, although I don't think they had a Memorial Day back then. He didn't go for any of that stuff. But New Year's Eve he did go for, or New Year's Day, or whatever, the changing of the year, the end of the year. It is a useful thing to demarcate one year from the next. It is a useful thing. I think it helps us. It helps us achieve a sort of sense of renewal, which is something that every human being needs. Because really, folks, if you looked around at 2013, it was a decidedly mixed bag. There was an awful lot of bad stuff in 2013. There's some good stuff too, and hopefully today we can examine both of those things. So, what I want to hear from you today is what the things, the events, the policies, the decisions, the trends that you found most memorable in the year gone by, whether good or bad. And I also like to hear two other things from you. I want to hear, you know, what do you think the new year will bring? Will it be more of the same, whether good or whether bad? Or will we see something entirely new come along in the coming year? And I also want to hear what your plans are for this evening. Really, not for any reason in particular other than that, you know, that I'm just sort of nosy. So 503-231-8187 is the number to call today to talk on this program, and I sincerely hope that you do give us a call. Let me run down just a few things that stick in my mind from the year gone by. I should probably mention that this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. This is KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. If you're listening on the internet tubes, www.kboo.fm. And incidentally, if this is how you listen to my voice and to Joe's each and every week, I salute you because you can listen as a podcast. You don't have to listen from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Tuesday morning. You can listen anytime you damn well please. And what's more, you can listen to any show that we have ever archived on the internet, not only for this program, but for every other KBOO program as well. So good on you, I guess, is what I'm saying to you. So in the year gone by, this was the year that human beings made some noise about slowing the rate of our changing climate, but by and large failed. Fossil fuel production and consumption have reached all-time highs. Our CO2 emissions have also reached all-time highs. And we proceed inexorably towards that tipping point whereby we will be unable to reverse or prevent the most cataclysmic consequences of global climate change. Here's just a few statistics. We're going to lead with the bad today so that we can sort of redeem ourselves by the end of today's show. At least that's my hope. But knowing you all, that's a tenuous hope at best. Yes, that was a backhanded compliment. 2013 ranks seventh amongst the warmest years in recorded history, according to the World Meteorological Association. We are tied with 2003. This ranking is compiled taking the first 9 months data from every year, supposedly so that the last 3 months of the year can be spent talking about how warm the previous 9 months were compared with those gone by. Average temperatures were 0.86 degrees Fahrenheit above the 1960 to 1991 global average. Why is that number important? the 1960 to 1991 global average. Why? Because it sort of gives us a baseline with which to compare global temperatures as they change. That 1960 to 1991 average, yes, human industrial activity did affect the climate, was contributing to rising global temperatures, but at a much less marked rate than the time since. And it sort of gives us a basis for comparison. 395.5 is the average concentration levels of carbon dioxide in parts per million observed in the atmosphere. 400 is the milestone figure in parts per million of atmospheric carbon dioxide that was crossed in the May of this year, temporarily. It was the first time that carbon levels in the atmosphere crossed that boundary in more than 55 years of record keeping, and quite possibly in the last 3 million years of Earth's history. And finally, 95% of global scientists say climate change is caused by human activity. A lot of you might hear that figure and say, duh. But this is a change because that number is up from 90% in 1997. So we went from an overwhelming consensus of global climate scientists attributing climate change to human activity in 1997 to an even more overwhelming majority of climate scientists attributing climate change to human activity here in 2013. Why is this significant? Well, because about the only place in the entire world where this particular fact is up for debate is here in the United States of America. And what's more, the confines of that debate are limited mostly to the conservative wings of Congress in the House and in the Senate, and of an increasingly, as we'll investigate a little bit later, an increasingly bunkered in hardline conservative segment of the society that refuses to accept facts for what they are. Again, we'll get into this more in a little bit. So that was the year in climate change. Disappointing, to be sure. And as each year goes by, this problem seemingly gets worse and worse, and we seemingly have no answers on the immediate horizon. So in this regard, was 2013 a good year? Did we make significant progress in addressing and attempting to reverse the negative impacts of industrialization on the global climate? Most affirmatively, we did not. We failed. About the only thing positive development on this front that we can attribute to 2013 is that that overwhelming majority I just talked about got a little bit more overwhelming. That's about it. 10 months out of 2013, over half the contiguous United States experienced moderate or severe drought. Almost 4 inches of rain fell from January to November in San Francisco. When the final numbers come in, it's likely that California will have found, we had its driest year on record. Its driest year on record. I could go on and on, but I think you get the idea. 2013 was also the year in which we found a renewed consciousness about the importance of labor and the power of labor in this country. We saw widespread strikes in the fast food industry, particularly in New York City, where fast food workers were striking for something approximating a living wage. In fact, McDonald's workers in Manhattan were calling to be paid $15 an hour. I want you to think about that for a second. $15 an hour to work at McDonald's. This provokes in the average person, I think, a sort of dichotomous response. On the one hand, you might go, $15 an hour? Why does somebody deserve $15 an hour flipping burgers at McDonald's? That doesn't make any sense. But on the other hand, if you're living in New York City and you're earning $15 an hour, I'm not sure where it is exactly you're going to live. Probably not in Manhattan. And if it is in Manhattan, you know, it ain't Central Park West, if you know what I'm saying. Here's the interesting part. If McDonald's were to pay its workers $15 an hour, not just in Manhattan, but across the country, if McDonald's were to pay their workers $15 an hour, the price of a Big Mac would rise by approximately 40 cents. So if you're a McDonald's person, and I confess that I am not, in fact, I can't remember the last time I set foot in a McDonald's, I'm guessing that most people would pay 40 additional cents for their Big Mac if they knew that workers at McDonald's would be paid something approximating a living wage. I think that most people would gladly bear that extra expense. Most people in a McDonald's drive-thru could find that extra 40 cents in the console between the two front seats where they keep their coffee cup, I'm thinking. So the larger question then becomes, McDonald's, why won't you do this for your employees? Why is it that you don't think the people who work for you, that make your franchises hum every day, that keep McMuffins and Big Macs flying out to Americans and Canadians and Europeans and Asians and people around the world, why don't you think that it's worthwhile to pay them a decent wage? Here's another little nugget to chew on in this question. McDonald's has made available for its employees a hotline that ever so considerately puts them in contact with various public support agencies like, temporary assistance for needy families, which is what we call welfare these days, or the food stamp program. So if you're working for McDonald's full time, if you're working 40 hours a week making burgers, you can't make ends meet because McDonald's pays you a pittance for doing what you do. In the benevolence of its corporate heart, McDonald's has seen fit to help you connect with social service help in your community. The ironies here are almost too many to mention. Foremost among them is this fact. Those proponents of the free market who would champion McDonald's right to pay its employees whatever it damn well pleases and as little as it can possibly pay them. Because let's face it, is it the job of a corporation to employ a lot of people and to pay them a lot? No, it is not. It is the job of a corporation to employ as few people as possible and to pay them as absolutely as little as it possibly can. This is how corporations maximize shareholder wealth. That is what they do. It is not in the interests of their bottom lines and therefore of their shareholders for them to do otherwise. So those champions of the free market, who will defend to the death McDonald's right to do it exactly what it's doing, those people who laud the free market's ability to solve all of our social and economic problems, those people who genuflect at the altar of unfettered, laissez-faire capitalism. What do you think about that? What do you think about McDonald's steering its employees towards public assistance? Isn't that McDonald's relying on a handout from the rest of us for doing what it refuses to do? We hear free marketeers talk all the time about the moral hazard of offering people things like welfare during hard times or food stamp assistance during hard times or unemployment insurance when they're out of work. This presents a moral hazard, they say. This allows people to become dependent. This saps people of their will to go out there and hustle to earn a buck. We can't do this because it's bad for people. This saps them of their very Americanness. Well, McDonald's, you're getting a big old handout because you're relying on the rest of us to pay your employees. Isn't that a moral hazard? I kind of think it is. So look for more of this in the coming year. This story is not going away. The recent trend towards organization among fast food workers is not going to go away. The same goes for Walmart workers. This isn't going to go away, ladies and gentlemen. And this movement deserves our support. Let's go to the phones. 503-231-8187. Lori, good morning.
Yeah, hi. I did want to mention that New Year's is a religious holiday.
Is it?
It is 2014 Anno Domini originally, which is the year of our Lord. And some people say after Jesus' death, after his death, but
sure.
It's his existence. If it were secular, we'd have, what, 6 billion and 14
yeah.
or something like that? So this has to do with, and also Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's are religious holidays.
Yes,
and
they are.
This one we will celebrate with simulated warfare. The louder the bombs and the more fire in the air, which is also the way we celebrate 4th of July. So we're talking about religion and war. And tonight, the dogs will scour for cover to get away from the noise, and the small children will be in terror, and our neighborhoods will be banging all night.
Well, let me ask you this, Lori. Yes, this is, we are embarking on the year 2014 Anno Domini,
yeah,
since the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's, I would submit that in this era, that has largely lost its religious significance. It's simply become a way for us to keep count. I mean, there are certainly those people who consider that numbering system to be religious in nature, but I don't think most of us do.
Do you think Christmas looks much like Jesus?
No, no. In fact, Christmas always makes me laugh. And that's I wanted to talk about a little bit more about the sort of white grievance industry, which raised its head in 2013. People talk about this so-called war on Christmas. Well, Christmas, it's been so secularized and commercialized that it resembles nothing like its, I think, its original Christian intent. But
yeah,
anyway, go
believer,
ahead. Please continue.
I'm not a believer, but it is strange that a guy who doesn't even think, Jesus didn't think you needed two coats because you can only wear one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do wish he could come back during the Christmas season. I think it would be wonderful. I would like to take him around the neighborhood and show him all these massive buildings that,
wouldn't that be
every
fun?
Other block that won't have anything to do with the one in the next block.
Hey, Jesus, here's a tree that, didn't you guys used to decorate trees too? Hey, and Santa Claus, you knew him, right?
I decorated a dead limb or a dead tree each year. I have ever since, over the last 25 or 30 years. I would not take a live tree and destroy it in behalf of this guy. So anyway, I just did want to remind people that these are all, we don't really, I don't know if we have anything really secular. It would be nice to have a holiday we recognize that was for ethics and decency and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Although,
what you just
although,
talked about.
although I think that despite the fact that we number our years based upon the presumed date of birth of this major religious figure, I think New Year's is a pretty much a secular holiday, and Christmas for a large number of Americans and folks elsewhere has become a secular tradition as well.
But why the warfare motif?
Well, I don't know about that. Where were fireworks were invented by the Chinese, as was gunpowder, and until Europeans borrowed that alchemical secret from the Chinese, we didn't have any guns. It took Europeans to turn gunpowder into a weapon. Fireworks were a way to celebrate, and they had nothing to do whatsoever with war, and I think that they can still be enjoyed in that spirit.
Okay, I hadn't looked at it that way. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for the call. Happy New Year.
Okay.
Let's go back to the phones. 2318-187. Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, you know, I ditto everything you said, you know, as far as 2013 goes, but I don't think that we can ignore something that's, I think, a long time coming in the consciousness of America is the legalization and the just the push forward of gay marriage. I think it's great. You know,
yes.
I mean, if there's any hopeful signal that we're going to wake up, it's the fact that we are observing a human right that's been contested for a really long time and, you know, almost every society that's existed. And I mean, you know, there's societies that have, you know, put up with it, you know, per se, or, you know, done things. But we're actually, you know, I mean, America, I think, it's a stirring that, you know, is extremely hopeful to me. And if we can just
kind of
put that forward, you know, in everything we do.
I completely agree. 2013 saw a 50% increase in the number of states in which people can become legally wed to members of their own gender. We went from 12 to 18. This would appear to be an unstoppable force, and I think it is only a matter of time before this right is all but universal in this country.
And by the way, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't know if it's even necessary for me to say this. I'm not gay, I'm not bisexual, I'm not transgender. But, you know, the thing is I'm pro-human rights. And this is, I mean, you know, if the Chaos Conference that was just covered by Amy Goodman a little earlier on the radio was just incredible, you know, of, you know, saying that we need to stop this whole internet, you know, observation, you know, these internet intrusions by the government. And if we go back to Kennedy, which we never, we lost more in Kennedy than I think we even knew, and we'll even ever realize. But I mean, to dismantle these intelligence systems and at least put them in their place, I think ought to be a priority like we had over legalizing gay marriage. I really think that that's probably would be a next conscious step. You know, so that's all I got to say.
Hey, well, thank you very much for the call, and have a happy new year, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
That leads me very nicely into my next topic, the expansion of same-sex marriage. This is among the few trends out there that gives me some real hope for the future. We've talked about this on this show many, many times. Joe and I think are a bit on opposite sides of the fence on this one, but perhaps not as far apart as one might think. He maintains, and he's largely correct, that the history of the United States has been written in terms of blood and empire and genocide and racial and gender discrimination. And he is largely correct. I submit, however, that a parallel thread of American life, one that is equally powerful and absolutely undeniable, is the fact that with each passing generation, we slouch a little bit closer to enlightenment. The circle of equals expands with each generation. We extend the franchise to more and more people with each generation. The circle of true equals grows. These dominoes continue to fall despite the best efforts of those entrenched socio and economic forces on the right who attempt to resist this change. It is inevitable. It is unstoppable. And it will soon be overwhelming as far as the subject of same-sex marriage goes. You ain't going to stop this one, Republicans, Christians. It's just not going to happen. We will reach full equality in this country. Perhaps not in our lifetimes, but it will happen. That, perhaps more than anything else, gives me hope. 503-231-8187. Who's next? Merv, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Two things. First of all, the language, I hear the word conservative a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are leading the Republican Party are not conservatives.
What would be a better adjective?
Well, it leans towards fascism, but that's a little extreme because they're not quite as bad as Hitler. But they don't mind. They
well,
don't want
I should
to
spend hope not.
Money for domestic things like Social Security, but they're ready and willing to up the ante for the military, and that tends towards fascism.
Yeah, that's true.
So there ought to be a better. Generally, I don't use the word conservative. I use the word right-leaning or right-wingers or right-wing wackos.
Certainly. Sometimes I like to use words I can't say on this program as well.
Yeah. Okay. The other point is you mentioned that hamburgers will go up 40 cents. I don't know how you arrived at that figure. But
Someone else arrived at that figure.
That whatever increase there would be in the restaurant industry would be well above and beyond actually what it's going to cost them for the increase in wages. And then they'll blame that on the fact that they had to raise wages. Like, say,
of course
it goes
will.
Up a dollar. And they'll say, well, it's not our fault. We had to pay the higher wages.
It's interesting that whenever people who members of the moneyed ruling class, whenever they start talking about belt tightening, the need to tighten budgets, et cetera, it's always things like wages or pensions or benefit packages that suddenly need to be chopped, isn't it?
Yeah, well, anything that's going to help the people they're against.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's so, my say for today, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
As an interesting side note to this conversation about the need to pay people enough to live on, that's a very simple fact that's well-grounded in macroeconomics. If you have a prosperous middle class. And by that, I mean, if you have the bulk of your populace who are able to sustain themselves economically such that they have money to go out and spend on goods and services in the community, everybody prospers. This is not me spouting, liberal dogma. This is fact. This is economic fact. The better the overall wage condition is, the better the overall economy is. The less we have money concentrated at the top in the hands of the very few, the better off we all are. This is not just basic economics. This is common sense. So with that in mind, let's take a look at another interesting statistic. Since roughly the early 1980s, really around the time that computers began to become broadly integrated in the workplace, in industry after industry, we have seen between then and now a more than 30% increase in worker productivity. What that means in everyday terms is that you, the average American worker, in a given 8-hour workday, are completing about 30% more work than you did in the early 1980s. That's pretty extraordinary. That is a sea change. A sea change that technology has wrought upon the American workplace. 30% more productivity. And as engineer Steve just mentioned, 30% fewer employees. Now, in a sane world, in a compassionate world, in a world in which the middle class, the working class, and labor were still able to wield influence over the political process and therefore over the economy, you would see that 30% increase in productivity translate in some way into a better lot for workers, whether it's 30% higher wages, whether it's maybe a reduced work week, something. Some benefit to be reaped from that incredible uptick in productivity. But predictably, that hasn't happened. The benefits of that 30% increase in worker productivity, those benefits have gone almost entirely to the 1%. To the ownership class. If wages over about this 30-year time span, if wages had kept pace with the increase in worker productivity, the minimum wage, this blew me away when I read it earlier this year, the minimum wage in this country would be above $18 an hour. So who's getting ripped off here, ladies and gentlemen? It's not the 1%. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM. My name is Abe Proctor. This is our 2013 Year in Review show. I want to hear from you what stuck in your mind the most from the year gone by. I want to hear what you hope to see in the year to come, what you fear we might see in the year to come. And I also want to hear what you're planning to do tonight. Who's next? Harry, good morning.
Oh, Happy New Year's.
Thank you.
But it's not Happy New Year's in China. It's a different year there. On their coins, it's not 2013. Or don't forget the Muslim countries, it's not 2013.
That's true.
Yeah. But anyway, what I remember about 2013, the biggest letdown, people keep forgetting what happened in January, was Obama made the Bush tax cuts permanent. And, even though his campaign promise was to get rid of it, he made it permanent. Same thing with Guantanamo. He was supposed to close Guantanamo, and he didn't.
Now, I apologize because I think this is something that I should be on top of, but it was my understanding that the Bush tax cuts were not made permanent.
No, they were made permanent, and no one said anything.
And, why is this significant, do you think?
Expect another economic crash probably pretty soon. But how corporate America controls us is by dividing us, divide and conquer. We have the progressive side and we have a conservative side. And the only way to defeat them is to, in the next election, don't forget, 2014 is an election year. Throw the bums out. We need to get rid of all the incumbents and have fresh people in there.
I'm finding it pretty hard to argue with that.
Yes, but we have to that means we have to come in agreement with our conservative brothers on the other side and have them do the same. And if an incumbent sneaks through, both Democrats and the Republicans, we'll have to just vote against him and make sure he doesn't get office.
Now, you've postulated something here that I think is that sounds really nice and would be a really great thing, and that is arriving at some sort of rational compromise with radical conservatives on the right. I don't think that's going to happen. If you don't live in a fact-based world, it's very difficult to arrive at any sort of rational compromise about anything.
But that's the message the corporation puts out, and the conservative side, they don't... they finally, I think they've come to realizing that they're under control. Their party is under control of the corporations, just like the Democrats are. And the only way to cleanse it is throw the bums out, all of them, incumbents.
You know, but I don't think people are coming to that sort of realization. The Tea Party, for example, is all about getting rid of taxes for the very wealthiest among us.
Yeah,
how is that a populist movement?
But that was created by what? Corporation, Tea Party. And it was given all the press. Otherwise, in years before, such a right-wing organization wouldn't have been given such media, you know, they would have just, you know, been in the dustbin. They wouldn't have been shown on television. But that's the only way to do it is to, we have to throw the bums out. But it's going to take a 20-year period of doing it, every election. Well, 2014 is coming up, and do you know who's running?
For what?
For state of Oregon.
For what?
Our representatives.
No, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, same thing here. I couldn't tell you either. And election's coming up, so a lot of us aren't being very well informed, you know, and maybe that's what we can do is hopefully vote them out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure by the time the election rolls around, we will all know very well who the candidates are, and they will have been very carefully vetted by moneyed interests, so that whatever two people we end up being able to choose from, they won't be able to affect change in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you very much for the call.
Have a nice day.
Thank you. You callers, you're great today. You're sort of your calls are leading me very nicely from one subject to the next. We just talked about reaching a rational compromise with the right. I submit that ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen because those of us in the reality-based community are simply operating by a different set of rules. Here's a case in point. A poll released earlier this week by the Pew Research Center reveals the number or the percentage of people who believe in evolution, by natural selection. And the results are sadly not very surprising. Over the past 4 years, the percentage of Democrats or people who self-identify as liberal or progressive who said they believe in evolution has risen by 3 points from 64% to 67%. But here's the eyebrow-raising part. You would expect that Republicans would boast among their ranks a smaller percentage of people who believe in evolution. But get this, since 2009, just 4 short years ago, the percentage of Republicans who believe in evolution by natural selection has dropped by 11 percentage points from 54% to 43%. What this means, listeners, is that 4 years ago, a majority, albeit a small one, of Republicans, of conservatives, nonetheless had a broad enough acceptance of factual life to believe that evolution by natural selection is a thing, that it actually exists, that it is, in fact, an ongoing process, that it is, in fact, the central tenet of life on this earth as we understand it. We are not static organisms, but constantly evolving ones. This is not a static ecosystem, but a dynamic one. With each generation, organisms pass on those genes that best help them survive, that best help them to procreate. This is evolution by natural selection. This is the central fact of our existence as biological organisms on this planet. But only 43% of conservatives actually believe it's true. Overall, 60% of Americans believe it's true. Now, this to me, perhaps more than any other fact, speaks to the failure of rationalism and reason and education in this country. When we're dealing with a central tenet of our life on this earth, one that is should be taught in every science class starting from about the first grade through the end of high school and beyond, that only 60% of us actually believe it's true is indicative to me of a populace that is adrift intellectually and rationally. It is a sad thing. This country was founded at the high watermark of the intellectual and social and economic movement called the Enlightenment. The Constitution was written when that movement was pretty much at its peak. And beyond anything else, it was a rational movement. It postulated that we, as thinking human beings, can apply reason to our existence on this planet and organize our societies in such a way as to maximize individual liberty, to maximize material comfort, to withdraw us from that state of nature, which the philosopher Thomas Hobbes described as solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. In other words, we could, through the application of reason, create a better life for every human being. Our Constitution arose out of this movement, and it stands as one of the great achievements in human history in this regard. It gave us a rational means, a rational basis to organize our society. And by and large, it's worked pretty well. But the fact that only 60% of us believe in the fundamental tenet of biology tells me that we have veered off track. I mean, that is pretty disappointing. Breaking this down by demographics a little bit, it's very interesting. The younger the members, the sample set in this poll became, the more people believed in evolution. The older the sample set in this poll, the fewer people believed in evolution. So that is a hopeful sign. Young people seem to understand where it's at. Those people, 18 to 29, for example, about 68% believe in evolution. When you get up to 65 and older, fewer than half of Americans believe in evolution. There's also a correlation between one's level of education. The more educated you are, the more likely you are to believe in this thing that happens to be true. So when we talk about making rational compromise with folks on the conservative side of the divide, that is a much wider gap than one might suppose. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Leah, good morning.
Good morning. That teased me up well because one of the biggest disappointments of 2013 for me would be when Governor Kitzhaber decided to throw farmers and local communities under the bus by adding the preemption bill into the local tax and PERS package in the special session.
What is the preemption bill?
So basically, it says that local communities do not have the right to pass ordinances that regulate agriculture in any way. So this was, without ever saying it, this was a bill about GMOs. It was talked about a lot that way, but the bill language, it said, never reads GMO in it at all. And it was Senate Bill 863. But if you were talking about negotiating the gap there, and Governor Kitzhaber said he had to do this, he had to preempt local control in order to make the Republicans compromise on the tax reform and pension package that he was trying to pass. Do you remember this?
I do. Well, that's disappointing.
It's very disappointing. And it just sort of goes to show you that that we must be making some kind of an impact at the local level for that to be the bargaining chip.
Indeed.
Maybe it's some kind of backhanded compliment, but just as far as what stands out to me as being a real bummer.
As Engineer Steve just pointed out to me, this we're still open to ban GMOs at the state level.
Well, right. So the result of that was that Kitzhaber is going to call together a task force on GMOs and to review things like possibly labeling or some kind of protections for farmers. But, some might argue that at the state level, that is a venue that's more easily controlled by corporate interests. We'll see. But at least now it's a conversation at the state level.
You're right. You're right about that. Yeah, and that's a conversation that wasn't happening, you know, even a couple of years ago. So that's good.
That is true.
You're right, but that's disappointing. It's, you know, one of the hopes that we hold out here, particularly in this part of the world, is that locally we can take action when, you know, nationally or on a statewide level, we do not. So that's really disappointing to have us preempted like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a head scratcher.
Part of things that are happening sort of here and there across the states and seeing what sticks, you know,
right.
And how they can sort of sneak it in and make it. And this was supposedly a process where our legislators, you know, they had constituents that were talking to them, but at this turn in the road, those constituents weren't able to speak loud enough. So.
Right. Well, listen, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. 503.
Cheers.
Yeah, same to you. Happy New Year. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We're reviewing 2013, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're talking about what we can hope for or fear in the year to come. And I also want to hear how you're going to spend your New Year's Eve. Nobody weighed in on that account tonight. So hopefully we'll get some, we'll hear some good plans here before the end of the show. A socialist was elected to the Seattle City Council. That is a bright spot, I think. This woman is, whose name is escaping me right at the moment. I'm going to have to look it up. My apologies. Is calling for a higher minimum wage throughout the Seattle and Greater Puget Sound area. She is helping Boeing workers to organize in the face of a threatened removal of the Boeing manufacturing facility in Seattle. She represents, I think, a breath of fresh air. And the mere fact that an uncloseted socialist won election to a major city council gives the rest of us something to hope for. 2013 was also the year that the veil dropped off of the surveillance state in which we now live. This is a subject that has bedeviled this show and others on KBOO for a long time. And those of you who've been paying attention know that we've lived in a modern technological surveillance state for some time now. But 2013 was the year that all pretenses were essentially dropped. The revelations made by Edward Snowden, the former National Security Agency contractor, laid bare any illusions that people might still be harboring about this fact. The government is sifting through phone calls, through emails, through all sorts of other types of correspondence. They're watching our traffic on the internet. There's very little that we do, especially in this modern digital world, that is now going unnoticed by the powers that be. It was revealed that National Security Agency staffers were actually spending time hanging out in virtual environments like the multiplayer role-playing games World of Warcraft and Second Life on the pretense that terrorists might be meeting in these virtual game environments and speaking in code about possible terrorist operations that they might carry out at some point in the future. Now, as any person with a brain will observe, this is patently absurd. And I think it's safe to say that paying government employees to play World of Warcraft is perhaps not the best allocation of national resources. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. 2013 was also the year we didn't go to war in Syria. That's a good thing, isn't it? Who do we have on the phone, Steve? I'm sorry, whom? Hey, Ponch, did I get that right?
Close enough. Morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Probably the most curious thing that I remember from this year is the war on Black Santa.
That was
a real strange thing.
It was.
You know, the war on Black Santa didn't seem to go over well. You know, it seemed to get a lot of blowback and ridicule. But then I realized, you know, the whole Fox News, Roger Ailes, weasel words are always very well chosen. And really, you know, what that was all about was equating our so-called socialist president with the Black Santa, you know, giving out gifties to undeserving people. So that's a sort of continuing thing that goes on while the age of information in the rest of the world is this opportunity to really expand our culture and our knowledge. You know, we have the 1% media, which is using it to, you know, kind of make a more narrow channel for more tribal sort of thinking.
That's interesting. The Black Santa giving out goodies to undeserving people. That's sort of a metaphor for everything that the right opposes, isn't it? The right.
Yeah, it was, and they made Jesus white somehow along the way.
They made Jesus white somehow along the way.
Yeah, you know.
The right doesn't oppose to the expenditure of government resources. It opposes the expenditure of resources on people they don't like. So
that gets sort of shuffled to the side. This is why I think KABU is such an important thing to go forward. In fact, talking about New Year's Eve, there's a great New Year's Eve bash that KABU is helping put on, benefit from Mercy Corps tonight. Two really great bands. One's a salsa band, one's a Afrobeat band, and you can get salsa lessons. And it's $15 a head, which is great. And I think I'll also spend the day seeing which other nonprofits are deserving, because it's the last day to, write your checks and get a good tax credit. And I think KABU would be a good one.
I can't argue with any of that, sir. Well, thank you very much for the call.
Happy Hogmanay to you, as they say in Scotland.
Yeah, back at you, and enjoy the party tonight.
All right, thanks.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. My name's Abe Proctor. This is the very last Abe and Joe show of 2013. We are looking back over the year gone by, looking ahead at the year to come. Yada, yada, yada. You know the drill. The caller just talked about the war on Black Santa. Now, this is funny. I think this is funny more than anything else, because really, it's quite dumb. Every year around this time, a cadre of conservatives, usually led by the talking heads at Fox News, start railing about the war on Christmas, about how Christians, particularly white Christians, are incredibly oppressed in this country. And then when someone comes up and wishes you a happy holidays, it's not because they're trying to be inclusive and perhaps take into consideration that not everybody is a Christian and not everybody observes Christmas. No, that's not an inclusive statement. That's a way to drive worshiping Christians into the closet. Because I'm sure Christians everywhere are being radically oppressed. There's Baptists getting up who are being prevented from going to church on Sunday. There are people who are having their Christmas lights taken down by jackbooted government thugs. It's just so hard to be a white Christian in the United States today. Good Lord, I feel so bad for these people. And this all came to a head on Fox News when anchorwoman Megyn Kelly made an affirmative defense of the whiteness of Santa Claus. Santa Claus just is white, she said, as if this was a piece of received wisdom. Of course Santa Claus is white. He's just white. And while we're at it, she said, so is Jesus. He's white. Why do we know this? Because, there's all those stained glass renditions of him with flowing blonde locks and blue eyes. He must have been white. You see how silly this is? Santa Claus is a mythical figure. It seems beside the point to argue the color of his skin. Jesus, I think we can say with a very, very high degree of probability, was not white. Jesus came from the Middle East. Jesus was of Semitic extraction and in all likelihood was probably short and brown. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about this because, as I'm sure all of you out there listening have concluded by now, it's just dumb. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. James, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
I'm Abe, but that's all right.
Abe, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Quite all right.
I think I know how the right and left can unite. First of all, we have to forgive one another, because we have been subjected to a propaganda campaign, both sides, that, it's been pretty bad. And for whatever reason, we each picked a side. We need to let all that go. We need to smile at each other, shake each other's hand, and give each other a hug. And we need to go after these monsters who have taken over our government. First of all, we can unite.
Go ahead. I'm wondering who the monsters are, first of all. Can we just pause and identify the monsters?
International bankers.
International bankers. All right, continue, please.
International bankers. what we do is we turn control of the economy back in the hands of the people, giving the people the authority to tax and regulate industry at the local level. And then we can all go, and we would all be for taxing national and international corporations 100% of their wealth and redistributing it back into the hands of the people. That is where we can unite.
Well, you sound like a fire-breathing communist, James.
I believe in God, of the people, by the people, and for the people. I am a strong advocate of Jeffersonian democracy, and I believe, and now that I understand how power has been transferred from the people to the central government, I think it's very important that we control the economy back in the hands of the people, and this is where I believe we can all unite.
Well, James, I got to give you credit, man. At the end of the year, you rallied and made more sense in that call than you've made in almost the entirety of all your other calls. Well
Thank
done,
you.
Sir. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
503-231-8187. 2013 was also the year, another year, where no CEOs of major investment banking houses ended up in jail. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase, not in jail. The heads of the other major trading houses, also not in jail. Former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, who engineered the massive and quite possibly criminal bailout of the financial sector, also not in jail. Here's my prediction for 2014. When 2014 comes to a close, they still won't be in jail. 503-231-8187. Who's next, Steve? Tyler, good morning.
Hi. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Edward Snowden, and I want to make sure that I reinforce that particular item on the list of big events of 2013, because I think it's an important step in terms of seeing what our government's doing. And I know there's not much time, so I'll just say one last final thing. And, you know, it just shows the power that having the actual people disclose the various operations of government, what their efforts result in, say, as opposed to like a 911 commission's outcome of investigating, government deeds. So anyway, I just wanted to quickly give one route for the people doing investigations of misdeeds of government, and I hope we see more of that in 2014.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for the call. Have a Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.
This has been a really interesting show. It's been really, I've enjoyed hearing everyone's reflections. What I'm not hearing, though, is how are y'all going to party down tonight? What, you know, come on now. I want to hear some nitty gritty here. What are you going to be doing? Where are you going to be? What is your objective? Are you going to shake your booty? Are you going to drink too much? Where are you going to go? This is what I want to hear. 503-231-8187. Engineer Steve handed me a note just now. That's how we communicate here between my room and his room in all of our technological glory, is by handwritten notes. He writes, the only time Jesus was violent was that time he took a bullwhip to the money changers in the temple. That is a very interesting fact, and one that I like to bring up to Christians when we're having discussions about the life of Jesus and what he actually thought and said and believed. That was his only act of violent revolution, and when he threw the money changers out of the temple. And I would submit to you today, listeners, Christian and non-Christian alike, that our secular temple, the government of these United States, has been infested by money changers, and perhaps it's time we threw them out of the temple as well. 503-231-8187. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your show. Like when, we all get together and have these discussions. Now, I just wanted to touch on something. 2013 is gone, and I wanted to give people some tools to, get this thing on the road, because a few of the things that are happening because of few elements in the in our lives, and the major one being the media. You know, we give power to what we pay attention to.
That's so true.
We consume this medium too much, and we you know, thus have this society in chaos. And people don't understand that TV has a profound effect on your consciousness. And you want to really get rid of and get your ducks in a row, you know, first thing, get rid of that TV. Get it out. If you want, if you feel like you're missing the news or something, I mean, there's the internet, there's more focused ways of getting information. But the TV is definitely doing you a disservice. The amount, the repetitious effect of watching commercials, is, it has a devastating effect on the mind. It really just sets you up. These people know how it works.
I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but we're out of time, and we'll leave it there. Hard to dispute your wisdom. There it is, listeners. In 2014, throw away your TV, turn on your radio, set the dial to KABU, and then nail it in place, because we got what you need. My name is Abe Proctor. That's it for 2013. I hope whatever you do tonight, you are safe. Get home safe and sound. Have a good night's sleep, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
And it's 9 a.m. You do have it tuned to KBOO in Portland. Coming up this morning, we normally hear alternative radio, but this morning alternative radio is not available. So instead, we will hear a program from Insiders Radio. And at 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, D. May Roberts hosts Stage and Studio, a weekly live show featuring best of performing, literary, and media arts in Portland and beyond. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Ava Lake focuses on 35 years of Blackfish Gallery and their exhibition, Becoming Blackfish. Happy New Year! Thanks for listening to KABU Community Radio. There's still time to make your donation to KABU for 2013. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
Fire! KBOO is proud to co-sponsor a New Year's Eve dance party with Palante and Jujuba. This salsa and Afrobeat dance party is a benefit for Mercy Corps on New Year's Eve, December 31st from 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. at the Red Rose Ballroom, 1829 Northeast Alberta. A salsa dance lesson will start at 8:30 p.m. Musical worlds converge at the roots when Nigerian band Jujuba and Afro-Cuban band Palante bring the Portland community together for this high-energy dance party to support the international relief work of Mercy Corps. Jujuba delivers funky, danceable rhythms, and Palante performs fiery hot salsa and Latin jazz. On December 31st, the Red Rose Ballroom, 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. For details, please go to kboo.fm and click on New Year's Eve dance party on the lower right side of the homepage.
So let me tell you a little bit about this Insiders Radio program. It's from a series called Scholars Circle and the Insiders. And in this hour, why did soldiers on the front line of one of the deadliest wars lay down their arms and play soccer with the very men they were supposed to kill? We'll revisit the so-called Christmas truce of 1914. Then, religion, politics, and the so-called God gap. We'll explore how religion unites and divides us. And finally, in the midst of so much bad news, what in the world is getting better? We will explore the widespread improvements in the world. So do stay tuned. It sounds interesting. And have a happy new year.
Hello and welcome to the Scholar Circle. I'm Maria Armudian. In this hour, why did soldiers on the front lines of one of the deadliest wars lay down their arms and play soccer with the very men they were supposed to shoot? We'll revisit the Christmas truce of 1914. Then, religion, politics, and the so-called God gap. We'll explore how religion both unites